Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy and delight to come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. I sincerely hope that you folk are enjoying these simple studies. It is not my desire to go into any great detail of doctrine or of any philosophy concerning the book of Genesis. I do want, however, to use Genesis and try to find out what the Spirit of God wants you and me to know concerning our relationship and our fellowship with Him. If you're not a Christian, we want you to come to know Him, the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. If you are a Christian, you're a real believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've put your trust in Him as your Savior and Lord. I want you to know something of the great yearning of the heart of God for your personal, intimate fellowship. This is why God made man. This is why God redeemed sinners. Man is different to any other creature, as far as I know, different to any other creature in the universe. Not only on earth, but in the universe. God made man for a specific purpose. God made man in His own image, that man may enjoy fellowship with God. And can I add reverently that God may have someone who would appreciate His love, His affection, His grace, and have fellowship with Him. And this is going to be the joy of believers all down through eternity. Unbroken, eternal fellowship with God. I think this was in the heart of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. When he said that he had not laid hold of that for which God had laid hold of him. But he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. This great yearning for unbroken eternal fellowship with a living sovereign God. I just pray that as we take up these simple lessons, the Lord will speak to your heart and my heart. Now we're finishing the end of chapter 13 of the book of Genesis. We're right on down to verse 14. To pick up the connection of study for those of you who have not been with us, in chapter 12, we were dealing, by the way, with this man Abram, the friend of God. And God loved to call him that, Abraham, my friend. Boy, this speaks of intimate fellowship with God. The nations have gone their own way. They've been scattered over the face of the earth. They've gone their own way in their sin, in their rebellion against God. As Romans 1 said, God gave them up to uncleanness, to vile affections, to a reprobate mind. And He picked up now a man. Again, I remind you, in the first few chapters of Genesis, you have, until you come to the flood, you have one race with one language. You come to chapter 10. After the flood, you have the dividing of the race into nations, and God put them in the best place where they could find God. You find that in Acts 17. Message of Paul on Mars Hill. And then we have God pushing them off to one side, letting them go their own way. In their ignorance, in their indifference to God, they picked up this man Abram, a man of faith, the father of those who believe. In chapter 12, his faith must be tested as to its fervency. Is he willing to leave his father, house, his kindred, his land, and go to a place that God would show him? And I read he went out, not knowing whither he went. In Acts chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, the God of glory appeared unto him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees and said, get out. Went as far as Haran, and Terah, his father, died. And then from there, Abram came on up through the valley, right on to the Lebanese valley, came on down through Damascus, picked up Eliezer, as we shall see later on, and came on down to the land of Canaan. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And God said, I'm going to give this land to your seed, to your children. And then you remember there was a famine in the land, and they went down to Egypt. He failed God. Great question is, can God take care of His people in God's land? And Abram failed. He went down to Egypt. And having failed God, he failed man. I'm not going to go all the detail of it. But he came out of Egypt, and he learned some lessons. But he came out very, very wealthy. He got two things in Egypt. He got wealth and Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid of Sarai. And from that day to this, they've been troubled. The descendants of Hagar have troubled Israel. And the falling sin of Israel has been money. You find that in Romans chapter 9. The falling away of them be the riches of this world, and so on. So he failed in the sufficiency of faith. Then in chapter 13, this chapter we're dealing with, we have the humility of faith. They come back into the land, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite was in the land. They were in the midst of idolaters, and Abram built his altar and pitched his tent. In the midst of idolatry, he worshipped the living God. But you know, they'd come out with great substance, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle and Abram's cattle began to fight, had quarreled. I guess the pasture was not very much in need of water, so they began to fight over it. And this fight would certainly soon bring in Abram and Lot. And Abram manifested the humility of faith concerning Lot. He doesn't call him his nephew, he calls him his brother. Lest the name of the Lord should be dishonored among the pagans around them, he said to Lot, "Listen, Lot, you take the right hand. If you do, I'll take the left. If you go north, I'll go south." He waved aside all his own rights for the glory of God. And now we start at verse 14. "And Lot said unto, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up your eyes and look the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever." We just stop there for a moment. Lot lifted up his eyes, you remember, in verse 10, and he chose by the sight of the eye. And the first thing you know, he pitches his tent towards Sodom, and then he got closer to Sodom. No altars, no tent mentioned with Lot. The next thing you know, he's in Sodom, a resident of Sodom. Now in verse 14, God says to Abram, "Now you lift up your eyes. I'm going to choose for you." I say Lot chose selfishly by the side of the eye. Abram, let God do the choosing. By the way, who's going to choose for you? Are you going to choose your own life, or are you going to let God do the choosing for you? Lot chose for the sight of the eye. And being a herdsman, being a rancher, if I can use that term, the great thing for herds is water and grass. And there was hardly any where they were. Down by Bethel and Ai, the south part of the land. Well, the result is, according to man, he made a good choice. He chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. But what he didn't know was that when he chose by the sight of the eye and the desire of the flesh, the result was he didn't know he was going to lose everything. He lost his testimony and nearly lost his life. But God did the choosing for Abram. When? When did God choose for Abram? When Abram had God do the choosing for him. After Lot was separated from him. Now God has Abram for himself. Oh, how God loves to have us just for himself. Do you ever think of it? He redeemed you just for yourself. He wants you. I said in chapter 12, the very first step in a walk with God was a walk of separation, and we don't like it. People don't like separation. Don't like separation. But after Lot was gone, God did the choosing for Abram. Everything you see, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give it to your seed for an everlasting possession. Notice the growth, will you? Chapter 12, 1, I'm going to show you a land. Chapter 12, about verse 7, I'm going to give it to your seed. Now he says, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed for an everlasting possession. Not only so, but I'm going to make your seed like the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. Now here's the promise of an earthly seed. Remember this. When you come to chapter 15, you're the promise of a heavenly seed. But for the present, an earthly seed. And God wanted Abram to see his possessions. One is reminded of of Ephesians 1:3, where it says, God hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. We see these blessings in Christ. Now God says, go and possess them. Occupation is by possession. Or we might take chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 6, for we are accepted in the Beloved, and all that Christ is before God, that's where we are. Oh, listen, Christian, have you seen your possession? Have you seen your riches in Christ? May God open your eyes. May God open my eyes. He hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Let me close the chapter, the last verse. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And he built there an altar unto the Lord. I want you to mark this last verse. He pitched his tent and he built his altar. He's still a pilgrim in the midst of the Canaanite and the Perizzite. In the midst of all the idolatry and corruption of the day, here's a man walking with God. Oh, listen, friend. Christian friend, there is no excuse for you or for me. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we can stand, walk with God. Well, you see, Mr. Mitchell, I can't preach. I'm not asking you to preach. In fact, I don't read where Abraham ever preached. But he lived in fellowship with God in the midst of a country that was full of paganism. Can't you do the same? I want you to mark, Abram did not conduct his life according to the society in which he lived. That was a pagan society. God doesn't want us as Christians either to live according to our present society. He wants us to live according to the Word of God. That's how we have fellowship with him. And he pitched his tent, where? On the plain of Mamre in Hebron. And he built an altar unto the Lord. Now the word Mamre means fatness. The word Hebron speaks of communion. So now he's going to live on the fatness of communion with God. Now I want you to mark as you read the book of Genesis that it's here where God manifests himself to Abram. It is here where Abram had the revelation of God over and over again. Mamre in Hebron. When God wanted someone to plead for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that they might not be destroyed, where did he go? He went to a man living in Mamre in Hebron. He went to Abram. I'm quoting from chapter 18 of Genesis. And it's when we live on the fatness of communion with God that we are found usable by God in doing the thing he wants to do for our generation. I take an amazing responsibility and yet a wonderful privilege to live in Mamre in Hebron, daily walking with God. As I've been saying in these past lessons, let's live the next 24 hours with God. Huh? I'm not asking you about tomorrow. That yesterday is already gone. You can't bring it past. But you can live with God today. Just try him for today. Never mind tomorrow. We never come. Live in his fellowship today. By the way, you remember, as I said a moment ago, this is the place from which Abram interceded for the Sodomites. Where was Lot? In Sodom. You don't read of Lot having a tent or an altar. He left that path of obedience when he left Abram. He left God. Chose by the side of the eye and he landed in Sodom. As we shall see, became a leader in Sodom. And you remember when you come to the book of Joshua, about 14 and 15, first chapter of Judges, you have where Caleb, you remember Caleb, the partner with Joshua, of how Caleb said to Joshua, give me this mountain. What mountain? Hebron. Hebron. That's where the giants were. I don't care. That's where I want to live, where Abraham lived in fellowship with God. And I want to tell you, friend, it's not going to be easy. You're going to find those who will try to keep you out of fellowship with God. But God wants it. Do you want it? Now we come to chapter 14. And now we have the courage of faith. And this has to do with love for the brethren. Allow me to recall, in chapter 12, the fervency of faith has to do, is his faith fervent enough to leave his own land, his own company, his own people, his father's house? The sufficiency of faith, can God keep him in the land in the midst of a famine? Is God sufficient for his daily needs? Chapter 13, the humility of faith has to do with the brother, and he manifested love for the brother, and let him have his choice. Now, when you come to the courage of faith, you have where Abram manifests that faith in a living God who was sufficient for every need. And again, it has to do with the brethren. His brother is in terrible need. I'm not going to read all this chapter on the courage of faith. In the first 12 verses, you have the battle of the kings. I needn't go into that. Here you have these great, mighty kings of the day. Amraphel. There are those who believe that Amraphel was another name for Hammurabi, the great Babylonian king, the great Babylonian lawgiver. And Amraphel and Arioch and Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tyler, king of nations. And they came against these kings in the valley, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, so on. And in verse 4, you read, 12 years they served. They were under Chedorlaomer. They were vassals to Chedorlaomer, paying their taxes, paying them so much every year. And then we read, on the 13th year they rebelled. By the way, the number 13 is the number of rebellion. We're going to find that a little later on in the passage, in the book of Genesis, I mean. And then you have the battle, and you remember how that these great kings, Amraphel and Chedorlaomer and so on, they defeated the kings of the Vale, kings of Sodom, of Gomorrah, of Admah, Zeboim, Bela, and so on. And you come on all the way down to verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. You remember, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now I read, he dwelt in Sodom. Now he becomes a captive. And these people take his goods and departed. Now verses 13 down through 16. It's amazing courage. And here is the courage of his faith, the great deliverance that Abram gave. There came one that told and escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Anah, and these were confederate with Abram. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servant, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and so on. In chapter 13, we have Abram as the man of peace. Chapter 14, he's a man of war. But please notice what happened. Verse 13, someone escaped from the battle and came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now, this is the first time anybody's been called a Hebrew in the Bible. Now, the word literally means the passenger, the one who passed over. Indeed, he had passed over the Euphrates River and had come on into the land. And he was a man whose heart was purified by faith. You know what you and I would have done? Let me misquote what the verse is. It says here in verse 14, when Abram heard his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants and so forth and pursued them unto Dan. Immediately you've got a heart that's purified by faith. He's going to help his brother. There's no bitterness. There's no callousness. There's no indifference. He didn't say what you and I might have said. Well, I told him so. He's made his own bed. Now he can lie in it. Huh? Do you ever hear yourself saying that? I warned that fellow. If he did this, what he would do, what he would get into. He wouldn't take any warning. So now he's made his bed. He better lie in it. You don't find this in Abram. Oh no. Here a man who has real love for his brother Lot, real sympathy for Lot. In Acts chapter 15, verse 9, his heart was purified by faith. Hearts purified by faith. I repeat it, no indifference. Oh, I tell you, Christian friend, we need a great deal of that today, don't we? We see some of our brethren, some of our church members, some of our friends, we see them fail God, You've talked with them, you've advised them, you've counseled them, but they're still going to go their own way, and they get themselves into a peck of trouble. And it's so easy to sit back and say, well, and you can sit back snugly in your self-righteousness and say, well, I told them this is exactly what would take place, but they won't take any advice, they listen to it, but won't take it. And now they have got themselves into a jam. You reap what you sow. You sit back. Oh no, no callousness here. No indifference in the heart of Abram. No bitterness at all. No, I told you so. What is it though? A heart purified by faith. And faith is evident by obedience to the word of God. Faith is coupled with love, with compassion, with tenderness. A genuine faith in the Savior will be evident by how we live, how we walk. And my friends, I talk to you Christians. There are so many of God's people who have been discouraged and disheartened. It's true they have manifested failure. It's true they've been warned, but they're so weak, they're so frail. And so when they fail, sometimes we crow over them. Instead of manifesting a faith, a heart that is purified by faith. I would just plead with you, Christian, today. Maybe some of your friends, maybe somebody in your church, and you, when you go to church, you see them on the left-hand side, and you go and sit on the right-hand side. Your fellowship has been broken at a terrible cost. I know they're frail. I know they fail God. And they might even be ornery. But that is not of the picture. Abram still loved Lot. And he wasn't censorious. He didn't sit in judgment upon him. He armed his own men to go out and deliver his brother Lot, as we shall see in our next lesson. What I want you to see is, I want you to live today a heart that is purified, a faith that is purified, a heart that is purified by faith. May God deliver us from indifference, from bitterness, from callousness concerning God's people. Will you live and walk with God today? He wants you to. He's hungry for your fellowship. And be like David when God said to him in the 40th Psalm, 27th Psalm, pardon me, where it says, David, seek my face. And David's response was, Lord, thy face will I seek. Now the Lord bless you today for his wonderful name's sake.